Well, in last week's gospel, we heard Jesus pose this question to his disciples. Who do you say that I am? Who is Jesus? That, we found out, was a question of utmost importance. And Simon answered correctly that Jesus is the Christ. And because of that, he received Jesus' praise. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. Simon also received a new name, Peter, the rock upon whom Jesus would build his church. What a great high note in the life of Peter and of the disciples with Jesus. But the passage that we heard today is part of that very same conversation. And quite a different chord is struck as Jesus says to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me." The one who a moment before was called the rock to provide a foundation is now a stumbling block, an obstacle. The one who had spoken the truth about Jesus for the sake of the 12 is now likened to Satan, the deceiver, the father of lies. What happened? How did this come to pass? Before we delve into the answer to that question, however, I'd like to share the story of a man named Franz Jägerstätter. Franz was a simple farmer living in Austria at the time when it was being annexed by Nazi Germany. He was the one and only person in his entire village to vote against that annexation. Together with his wife and three children, he continued to work on his farm, and though they were not a family of great means, they did all that they could to help those who were even poorer than themselves. He even refused subsidies and money which were offered by the government because he saw that as cooperating in the evil of the Nazi regime. He even had to quit going to the taverns for beer, which is a favorite Austrian pastime, and not because he was against drinking, but because he couldn't avoid getting into fights and arguments about Nazism when he went to the tavern. Soon, Austrian men began to be drafted into the Third Reich's military. And Franz was drafted once, but somehow he was allowed to return to his family and his farm. Then he was called up again. He sought out advice from his priests and spiritual advisors about what to do. And they encouraged him to consider his family and his own life. See, if he refused to serve, his family's livelihood and his own life would be at great risk. In a moment like this, what would you do? And maybe we shouldn't give ourselves too much credit here, because we know the reality of how many people acquiesced to such arguments as that. How many just went along with it, passing the buck, saying that the responsibility lied with their military superiors. History shows that most preferred to go along with tyrants rather than to stand up to them. We heard in St. Paul's letter to the Romans today, "Do not conform yourselves to this age." The men at the age of Franz Jägerstätter, almost to the number, were acquiescing to these arguments. They were following the promise of wealth and power and security and prestige that would come to them if they were victorious in the war. Or maybe they were just acting out of fear, seeking safety in numbers, the path of least resistance, afraid of the consequences of standing up. St. Paul says, "I rather urge you, brothers and sisters, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Do not conform yourselves to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may discern what is good." So what did Franz do? After reasoning through all of these arguments, led by the light of Christ, in the well-formed voice of his conscience, Franz concluded, saying, "Again and again people stress the obligations of conscience as they concern my wife and children. Yet I cannot believe that just because one has a wife and children, he is free to offend God by lying, not to mention all the other things he would be called upon to do. Did not Christ himself say, 'He who loves father or mother or children more than me is not deserving of my love?'" So Franz Jägerstätter, instead of feeling guilty about he as the breadwinner leaving his family, it's as if he heard those words of Christ ringing in his ear, that one does not live on bread alone. His own testament to the truth, a living testament, would benefit his family much more than the work of his hands could. So as a result of the clear reasoning of his conscience, Franz Jägerstätter vowed disobedience to the Nazis, and he was threatened with execution, and many begged him to reconsider, including his wife. But he would not alter his resistance. He was sentenced to death. Now, shortly before he died, he told a priest that he knew that one death would not stop the Nazi war machine. And he knew that. Yet he wanted his death to be a sign that not everyone let themselves be carried away by the tide. "Do not be conformed to this age," St. Paul said, "but be transformed." Franz Jägerstätter has been named a blessed by the Church for his heroic act of martyrdom for the faith. Because he did not conform to his age, he was transformed into glory, into sainthood. And his wife, who was present at his beatification ceremony, understood the great gift that he had given his family, and indeed the whole world, by his courage and his witness to the truth. Let's now return to Caesarea Philippi, where Peter was just confronted by Jesus. Jesus had been telling his disciples, his followers, mind you, that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer greatly and be killed and on the third day be raised. Peter rebukes him and tells him that is not the path of the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. And Jesus turns to him and says, "Get behind me." As if to say, "Get out of my way." Or rather, "If you are my disciple, follow me. Don't get ahead of me. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." And what follows is so significant. Without this, we cannot be Christians. Jesus says, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." That's what Peter was resisting. Self-denial, the cross, truly following Jesus. He wanted the benefits of the kingdom without the cost. He was trying to conform his own image in his mind of the Christ, the long-awaited Messiah, to those of his imaginations, and put them on Jesus instead of allowing himself to be transformed by following Christ. You see, the transformation is precisely the reversal of the way that the world thinks. As Jesus says, "Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will find it. What profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and to forfeit his life? Why gain the whole world and lose your soul?" So testifies the life of Franz Jägerstätter. From prison, he had written, "If I must write with my hands in chains, I find that much better than if my will were in chains. Neither prison nor chains nor sentence of death can rob a man of the faith and his free will. God gives so much strength that it is possible to bear any suffering." Last week, we heard of the importance of that question, who is Jesus? This week, we find out where we must go to answer that question. We must go to Calvary, to the cross. We must follow in the footsteps of Jesus. We can't be His followers if we conform to this age. We cannot be Christians if we run from the cross. Many voices contradict that. Many acquiesce. But no one can take our faith and our free will from us. Deny yourselves, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. And Blessed Franz Jägerstätter, pray for us.